Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here. Hello out there in podcast land, wherever you are. From our chaotic house to yours, we say welcome. Come on into the circus. Coffee pot's on, cream's in the fridge. You're welcome to sugar. Leave my special sweetener alone.
I would say tea kettle is hot and the tea bags are on the counter.
Ah, true. You are my tea girl. Well, either way, we would invite you in for a hot cup of something because you and I always have a mug in our hand, especially this time of year.
Yeah, it should probably be water more often.
Oh, no lecturing. As I take a sip of my coffee.
Tea is a good stress reliever for me. It's a good way to bring me down and help me breathe and focus.
That's good. You've needed that this past week. You had exams and concerts and recitals. Mm-hmm. The public school kids had, what did they?
It was district contest.
Yeah, and you guys had to work there. You were on the road two extra times?
At least. Oh, yeah.
And so late at night. Yeah. And then we had some spring storms, and it wasn't spring yet, but violent storms.
You've been in birthday season here at home.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We have how many? We have four birthday seasons. Like other people have just wrestling season or basketball season. When Dalton was little, someone asked him what the four seasons were, and he was like, you know, deer season, turkey season. So that's where his brain was. But we have birthday season four different times a year, and we have some of them are anniversaries, some of them aren't just birthdays, but like it's all in groups of three. So you're one of the three right now. You and Michaela, she was the big one. She turned 13. Mm-hmm. And then Nate. Nathaniel.
Yeah. Yeah, we got through Michaela's, and now this weekend is Nate, who's turning 8.
Bowling and pizza. I can't wait. So much easier this weekend. We don't have to clean. We don't have to host a dinner party.
Those are special, though. It's nice to have everybody home and to host the big party. But I'll agree that hospitality is hard work. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of execution.
Right. It does. Well, what else has been going on? I'm trying to think what I feel like I've just been potty training Maggie and that's it for like 3 months now.
Wrong. At least 4 to 6 months. You're not imagining it. It has been that long.
Bless her heart. She just has to be in control of everything.
Yeah. Don't we all?
Good point. That feeling of having everything under control is something I think every woman loves, but we seldom get to enjoy it. I think there are some seasons in every family where things, they really, truly are out of control. Yeah. And it's just a fact of life at that moment. Like we have to accept that we're in survival mode. And I'm thinking like a surgery that puts somebody in the hospital or
a brand new baby.
Yes, yeah. A brand new baby. Maybe a death in the family or hospice, that, you know, something that's a little bit prolonged and it just kind of takes over the family schedule and you are in paper plate mode or maybe living on gift cards from family and friends, things like that. That's a really out of control season where you have to let things go. But I'm also thinking of like when we just need a really good reset, like the end of summer. And everybody just feels better, especially mom, when routines start up again, schedules start up again, there's structure. after Christmas is a huge time.
Oh, yeah.
I need everybody to just stop eating sugar
mm-hmm.
and go to bed at a normal time. Like no longer a Christmas break where you're just staying up late and going to friends' houses or going to different get-togethers, eating everything under the sun, watching movies. I tend to only get things like the Wii or the ping pong table, stuff like that out during, you know, just special things. And mm-hmm. man, by the first week of January, I need things to be back to normal. But that word normal is so relative because it's like normal chaos in every home. Just the day-to-day running of a household is, I would describe it as, oh, this is just normal chaos. This isn't extra chaos. This is just normal chaos. And so right now we're in normal chaos. There's nothing bad or horrible or life-altering going on. We're potty training because we have a three-year-old. We're wedding dress shopping for several of us in tuxes and suits for the guys because one of you all is getting married.
College exams.
Oh, right. Just all of the midterms mm-hmm. and tax season.
Yeah.
Tax season has been huge around here because we have, what, four people that have to file taxes mm-hmm. and getting all of that done. We're finishing up homeschool. We're finishing up co-op. And
lots of colds and allergies.
Oh, we have, I don't know, half of our family that every time the seasons change.
Mm-hmm. We can't breathe for a few days.
Well, it's like your whole head needs to reset
yeah.
and adjust and doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just grouchy that the season has changed, I guess. I don't know. And as soon as it hits maybe 65 degrees and the sun's out, Dad thinks that we should air the whole house. You know, he wants to yeah. open windows and there's nothing in the world wrong with that. But it's like, oh, hello, Mr. Pollen. Come in and wreak havoc on
Make
everything.
Make yourself at home.
Yeah. Everyone that has trouble with that all of a sudden can't sleep, can't breathe, and sometimes can't be civil. Sorry.
You know what else happened in the last couple of weeks was Daisy's foot.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, Daisy broke some bones in her foot.
Yes, that's going to mm-hmm. go down in Campbell family history as the great propane tank pirouette. Or maybe the...
Is that what we're calling it?
Propane tank dismount gone wrong. I don't know, but she did. She broke some bones in her foot. And I've now made my second all-day trip to the city to have x-rays and things like that done. And wait for it. Dad and I had a very big... Oh, you're giving me a drum roll. Very nice. We had a very big life moment. Like a we have reached a milestone. We had a milestone moment. We both had our first colonoscopies. Whoop, whoop. There's something to write home about, right?
Yeah, that was two separate weekends back to back.
Good times. I'm glad to say that we both have clean bills of colon health.
Yay.
I have to go back in 3 years. Bummer. And Dad is clear for 10 years. So congratulations to him, brat. I don't look forward to repeating that, but whatever.
First world problems.
That's right.
Yep.
It's a privilege to have good insurance that covers preventative maintenance.
You sound like you're talking about a car.
Well, my check engine light's starting to come on. I have to get these things checked out. But seriously, we've had a lot going on. It's, like I said, controlled chaos, just like mm-hmm. every other household in North America. And it can all feel really out of control. And I think the temptation is to feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe we don't feel overwhelmed. Maybe we are overwhelmed. Those yep. first couple of scenarios that I talked about where, you know, a death in the family mm-hmm. or a brand new baby. I mean, there are genuinely seasons where you are overwhelmed and you need your tribe to pick up some things for you. But I'm talking about normal chaos. and we're not overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. We may be unorganized and we need to fix some things and shore some things up, but we're tempted to feel overwhelmed. And when we feel a certain way, and that temptation is there to be controlled by the feeling, mm-hmm. to let it dictate what we say, to let it dictate how we act, to let it dictate the attitude with which we face the issues that are swirling all around us. And there's always a choice, don't you think?
Oh, yes, I mean, definitely.
There's always a choice, yeah. to feel a feeling and go, I'm going to pick you up right now and walk you over to the cross, mm-hmm. and set you down and talk to Jesus about, yes. you. Or, yeah. to feel that feeling and go, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have a pity party. Yeah. And I'm going to embrace this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what? Anger feels really good right now. And I'm just going to embrace it and spew it out all over everybody. But it is a choice. And we need to take responsibility for that choice. Yeah.
So what specifically do you do to combat those feelings of overwhelm? Because I've watched you for years and it seems, well, there is constant opportunity to be overwhelmed around here.
Okay. You've watched me blow it many, many times and have to course correct. Mm-hmm. I've definitely, in answer to that question, I would say the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that we talked about last time.
Yeah.
I depend on that. It's a kind of a go-to for me. Mm-hmm. And I talked about songs last time, maybe two times ago on the podcast, mm-hmm. about how a scripture song can help me change my mood. It can help me turn from a feeling, overcome a feeling, like sing that song. It might be an upbeat song. It might be a really sweet song.
Mm-hmm. And it's quick to recall.
Mm-hmm. It's right there. It can begin to just reorient my dial. I like to call it my dial. Like, yeah. Is my dial turned towards my feelings right now? Is my dial turned towards my common sense and my thoughts right now? Is my dial turned toward the Holy Spirit? Is he in control? Is my dial turned toward my physical body? Like, am I hungry and my dial's turned there and that's what's controlling me? So when you hear me say that's what I mean when I talk about my dial. Mm-hmm. Like, I have maybe a radio dial that, you know, on my chest, and I could turn that and it's controlling the power source for my, just my being at any, yeah. given time. And so I talk to the kids a lot about, you're in charge of your dial. Nobody else gets to turn your dial for you. I mean, there are times where I would seriously love to be able to turn my 5-year-old son's dial for him. he's super pouty. My 3-year-old is super angry sometimes. My 7-year-old is super distracted and hyper. Mm-hmm. And it would be great if I could just turn their dial.
But that's where free will comes in.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's where discipleship and training comes in, where, mm-hmm. if I was just able to turn their dial for them, then what happens when they grow up and they leave home and there's no one there to turn their dial? They have to learn how to set and turn that dial themselves. And so, well, on your birthday, so it was a Wednesday morning. I remember so clearly, and I'm going to turn here in I've got my journal out. And when I say journal, my journals are like little Walmart notebooks. They are not, I don't spend money on big fancy journals. If you want to, that's up to you. But I want to be a little bit vulnerable. So I've talked about how I sing songs and write scripture songs to help with controlling just my dial that we were talking about. But I also write in journals. And I can remember saying something on one of the other podcasts about how when you sing the song, it helps to kind of speak the truth out loud. Mm-hmm. I think that the same thing is true of writing it down. And so this Wednesday morning, it was February 28th, I was losing it. And I wanted to course correct. I did mm-hmm. not want, I, that's something my girlfriends and I talk about a lot is we're just sick to our stomach. I don't want to blow up. I don't want to lose my cool. I don't want to, the other day I went and got a bag of potato chips. my physical dial was turned. I just don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose control. So anyway, I grabbed my journal and I sat down on the table and this is what I wrote. It's all breaking loose. I forgot Val's birthday. That's my neighbor. And the kids are wild. The God of peace as our name for the week sounds like an absolute joke. I've been gone from the house 3 days in a row. I have students coming. It's Sissy's birthday. All the extras are piling up. And God is not bringing peace in my circumstances. But that's not how it works. I get peace in my spirit, not in my circumstances. I get peace when I focus on Christ and the truth and reality of the promises that are mine through his sacrifice on the cross, through salvation, sanctification, future glorification. These truths cover my thoughts, my feelings, my body, my spirit. Peace begins to come into our home, not through the circumstances, but through me as mama, as I come under the control of the Holy Spirit. As I come under his control, it's like being yoked to him, and the scriptures that promise he will help me bear my burden begin to bear fruit. And I see it and I point it out to my children. I begin to see Father working. Was he working before? Probably. But I don't see it when I'm in a tizzy. Breathe, Margie. Focus on Christ. Pray. Peace will come. So that's what I wrote in my little journal. And it's kind of hard to share that, you know, to read personal thoughts. But we need to be vulnerable with one another. We need to talk about what's really bothering us, what we really struggle with. But more so, the question you asked me, how, mom, do you, you know, how specifically do you do that?
Yeah. Well, let's get into our Bibles. And in future podcasts, we're going to break this down and explain how you use each specific passage. But today we're just going to give an overview. Again, we are in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name."
Yes, hallowed be your name. In some way or another that I don't even remember now, God pulled me into this passage and I began to study his names, his character, the way he revealed himself to people throughout history in the Bible through his names. Every time he did something new or revealed something new about himself in the Old Testament, he would give himself a new name.
Yeah. The one that stands out to me the most is El Roy, the God who sees me.
I love that one. It's the story of Hagar, who is Sarah's maid. And Sarah is mistreating Hagar very badly. And she runs away into the wilderness. And the angel of the Lord appears to her there and makes a great promise to her.
Yeah.
And this historical account is found in Genesis. It's in chapter 16. And I'm going to turn there and I just want to read this. I always want my Bible with me and open. Mm-hmm. I want to let it speak.
Yeah. If you're listening, we invite you to do that as well.
Right.
Please get your Bibles out.
So Genesis 16, Sarah and Hagar. And you know, this is before Sarah's name is changed. And I don't know, is it pronounced Sarai?
Before? Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you a Hebrew scholar?
No.
No, but you've taken more classes on these things. Okay. So I'm going to say it Sarai as I read. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think anybody is going to be concerned one way or another. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants, so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. So did you hear it? Did you hear the name in there?
Yeah, it was verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees."
Yeah. So I really clung to that name for God when we were on the pipeline because it tested what I believed. Mm-hmm. I'm out here alone with all of these kids, and I'm sick, and I'm weak, and I'm vulnerable, and I've got to get everybody up for the day and put on a positive outlook that makes them believe I've got this all under control. And I've got to figure out a routine that somehow keeps us moving forward for 10 to 12 hours until Daddy gets back. And mm-hmm. I need to believe that God sees me. Yeah. I am, in a way, I'm testing that. Do you see me, God? Are you going to help me?
Yeah, specifically help you not get thrown out of the hotel because of your rowdy children.
Controlled chaos. Remember the circus comment at the beginning? Come on into the circus. My children are always rowdy. I don't know if I just encourage that, if I've just never really gotten onto it, but they're definitely rowdy. Anyway, some days when we were in hotels, it was literally the phone ringing and being told to calm down. And mm-hmm. so that was a literal prayer. I'm no laughing. Like, are you going to help me not get thrown out of this hotel? Another one was, are you going to help Dad pass his welding test? Mm-hmm. Another, are you going to help us find a house to rent? More importantly, the little things that seem so huge, like, are you going to help this baby sleep in this hotel room tonight so that she doesn't keep her daddy awake? And are you going to keep the kids from getting the stomach flu from eating at the hotel continental breakfast? I mean, I don't know why, but I have some children that mm-hmm. will lick the edge of a buffet.
And others of us that just cannot eat hotel food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't digest like the grease mm-hmm. and the preservatives. Oh, my word. It was just always something. And when you have young children, the next prayer then is, Lord, when these kids get sick, how am I going to find a reputable doctor?
Yeah.
Urgent care clinic or I don't know. I don't know which emergency rooms out on the road yeah. are good. And I have to trust him. I had to. I still do. Yeah. But out on the road, it was a lot. And the names of God became an anchor for yeah. me, Sissy.
How did we originally find them?
I don't know. There are lists of, I mean, the advent of the internet, right? You
yes.
can Google yeah. something, ask Siri, and it just comes up. And they are compiled by 100 different sources. We put our list mm-hmm. on our website, which is giveme.org. Mm-hmm. And is that link in the show notes? It will
yeah,
be,
I
right?
I will put it in okay. there, yeah. Yeah.
So you mamas can go download that for free. We use the NASB 1995. Mm-hmm. And so those names for God, those scriptures are going to match up with that. If you are committed to using a different version of the Bible, that is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Zero judgment here. Google that. Look it up and find a list of the names for God, and go after it, and use those. I suggest that you find the list, you print it off, and you tuck it in your Bible and go through them. I start at the beginning. I focus on one a week. Each morning when we sit down for morning devotions, I might start out by saying, I literally, this is verbatim. I'm like, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's our name for God this week?" And it gets posted around the house. Sometimes I'll write it on a chalkboard. If we're down in our basement, I have like a little schoolroom. And when I'm really feeling organized, I post it up there, things like that.
Yeah. And you have a lot to say about how we use the name for God during the week. Lots of tools and strategies for how to incorporate it into the family's day. But we will leave the specifics of that for another time. Right now, I'm just going to read through this passage, and I want you to just give a quick overview of how you've used each section in our morning time devotions.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
We have this, I've divvied it up into 5 sections.
Sure.
God's name, prayer, memorization, confession, and the armor.
Right.
So we just covered the first section, God's name. The second section, prayer, is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Right. So this is where we pray for God's will to be done on earth. There are 7 days of the week and 7 continents. So I try to make this kind of geography time and missions time. I've looked up like on David Platt's website Radical, and he will list prayer requests for different regions of the world. I know that Voice of the Martyrs is excellent.
They're very
they
good at
will
that.
List out prayer requests for different portions of the world. A lot of churches have different missionaries that they sponsor in different parts of the world, so you can adopt them. But it gives your children something to pray for.
And that they're praying for real people. It helps just ingrain that, like, that they're praying for someone, that the how just how important that is.
So we have just stuck with Sunday is Antarctica, Monday is North America, Tuesday is South America, and it's never changed in over 10 years. I would like to confess right now that the continent of Australia is on Saturday, and they do not get a whole lot of prayer from us.
Yeah, they get skipped a little bit.
Unless we're going somewhere and we're all in the car together and dad's like, "Okay, prayer time."
Poor Australia.
Yeah, poor Australia.
And that section, praying, it really helps get you into a meditative mindset, which leads into the third section, which is memorization and meditation. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread.
Right. So our daily bread is not actual food. It's talking about our spiritual food. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And we consider the Bible to be our spiritual food and what we need to eat, per se. And I know that if you're new to Christianity or church and you've never kind of heard those words before,
that could sound kind of odd.
Yes. And so just wanted to kind of explain that a little bit. But this is the point in our morning devotion time where we work on scripture memory. Mm-hmm. So if we are memorizing a passage, then we will spend a few minutes working on whatever verse and then doing our review work. Mm-hmm. If we're working on catechism questions, then we'll just, you know, work on that or maybe both.
Then we get to our confession time in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
And this is a time when we take a few minutes of quiet. I'll maybe
usually with some threats, you know, or major interruptions.
So a lot of times I literally will set a timer on my phone for 3 minutes and say, "Okay, I cannot control your minds and what you're doing. I'm pretty sure I had some teenage boys put their heads on the table and go to sleep
maybe
sometimes, but
occasionally
all I can do is set the timer and say, okay, this, give the instructions." And so, we would have a little quiet time. And I, afterward, after you thought about what you need to confess, sometimes I would model and teach how to confess your sins mm-hmm. to God. I would have the kids, especially the younger kids, really think through the past 24 hours and what things they might need to confess to God, what they might need to confess to me as their mother. I've found out a lot of things around the dining room table. I've modeled dialogue for how you apologize to your sibling sitting across uh-huh. the table for some offense and how that sibling accepts the apology and offers forgiveness.
This can always get interesting. Yeah.
It does. When we go in depth into this part on a future podcast, it will be fun mm-hmm. to tell some stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And give you mom's help for dialogues on how to confess and communicate sorrow mm-hmm. when you've sinned, how to apologize from your heart and not just your lips. These are very important, very critical relational skills. And
they can and should be formed from a very young age. Yeah.
It's just truth. So,
yeah, well, finally, we reach the last section, our armor. Verse 13 states, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
Right. So at this point, we flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we take up the armor of God. So mm-hmm. we talk through the armor, putting on the armor, and we will definitely go into all of that in a future podcast.
Yes.
But finally, we take up our shield of faith, which is the last piece of armor. And I really want to talk about that shield of faith for a few minutes.
Yes, you've written songs for both of those passages to help moms and kids memorize mm-hmm. them and hide them in their hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
And the armor song is so much fun. We sing that at co-op. And the kids love to use their little swords, pretend swords
yes.
and stomp. And you can find that on our website if you want to look that up. But the Shield of Faith song is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And this is how it reads from the NASB. "And now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." And many, 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 many years ago, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. I participated in a Beth Moore Bible study entitled Believing God. And I know that right now Beth Moore, bless her heart, is embroiled in a lot of controversies, and I'm not here to comment on that. But I so appreciate this faith pledge that she taught in that Bible study. And it goes like this. 1, God is who he says he is. 2, God can do what he says he can do. 3, I am who God says I am. 4, I can do all things in Christ. And 5, God's word is alive and active in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that pledge became something that I hid in my heart. I taught it to you kids.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it into the scripture song.
Yep.
It has become a fixture in our home, in our concerts, in our morning devotions. It comes up in almost every devotional conversation that we have. Mm-hmm. It's just very simple, very foundational, very applicable truth.
Yeah.
Every day.
If I remember correctly, it's the very first song that we sang live as a band in 2014.
Are you serious?
We were in Pennsylvania and our church, they were having the MOPS conference for the preschoolers.
Green community, right?
And we did the worship. And we taught the moms scripture songs to sing with their kids. And that was one of the songs that we sang.
I had forgotten that. You are right.
Dalton was playing bass guitar.
You guys were so little.
Yeah, it was like the band 1.0.
Our very first little band. So Dalton played bass and Luke was on guitar. Uh-huh.
I was on fiddle, always.
Charlie was on banjo, and of course I was playing piano.
Yes.
That is just crazy.
So this is our 10-year anniversary. We need to have some little anniversary concert.
We should go back to Pennsylvania. That little church isn't there anymore.
A lot of the people are, though.
Oh, we would have so much fun.
They would not recognize us.
No. Dalton and Luke, they're gone.
They're gone. Charlie's playing guitar. Michaela's playing the banjo.
Oh, and doing a good job. Yes. Of it.
Daisy's doing fiddle and mandolin. I'm still playing the fiddle. Big surprise there. And you're on upright bass,
which is so much even bigger than I am. And it's so much
piano.
Fun, though.
Always piano.
Oh, yeah. Always yeah. piano. So we're like on something like version 4.0
yeah.
of the Campbell family band. Oh, my goodness. And don't forget Dad, my dad.
Oh, yeah. Grandpa. Can't forget Grandpa.
He plays with us all the time. So, well, let's sing this. You can find it on our website, the sheet music, the chord charts, the YouTube video, whatever mm-hmm. will help your family sing God's yeah. word. It is there. So look it up. Take advantage of these resources. It's my desire. It's Clint's desire that people would use these mm-hmm. tools to worship yeah. God as a family.
Yeah. And I will post all of the links for that in the show notes. But here we go. This is a Hebrews 11:1. Faith is confidence.
All right. Let's sing it.
And now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And now faith is assurance about what we do not see. And I choose to, yes, I choose to, yes, I choose to believe. One, God is who he says he is. Two, God can do what he says he can do. Three, I am who God says I am. Four, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And five, God's word is alive. God's word is alive and active in me. I choose to believe. And now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And now faith is assurance about what we do not see. And I choose to, yes, I choose to, yes, I choose to believe.
Remember when the boys used to go, believe, believe, believe. Oh my goodness, it's so funny to sing it a cappella.
Yeah.
We never, well, now at co-op on Fridays we do, yeah. but we tend to beat the Bible. Hold that for me. So we go, and now faith is confidence. And it's fun. The kids, they get into it.
You got to have the rhythm in there.
It's true. And it makes me a Bible thumper, which yeah. I think is nice. Kind of funny. So our name for God this week.
Our name for God this week is God of Flesh. It's from Jeremiah 32:27.
Right. The God of our flesh. And here is the verse. Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh.
Is anything too difficult for me? And we learned in that passage that Jeremiah was questioning some things that God had been doing because from his earthly perspective, things just didn't add up. And he trusted God, but he was just wondering, how are you going to make this happen?
And that sums up the majority of life mm-hmm. for Christian believers in this world. I trust you, God,
yeah.
but I can't see how you're going to use this situation. I don't see how this is going to turn out. I'm struggling to not worry mm-hmm. about this. And when you read this name, it reminds you, nothing is impossible for God.
Yeah, and that's an anchor in a world that tends to just blow us off course.
It certainly tries to.
Yeah. And God doesn't want us to put on a stiff upper lip or a strong, like, power girl attitude and pretend like we're not overwhelmed.
Right.
You know, he wants us to admit that we need a savior and to bring all of our overwhelm to him. And when I'm feeling overwhelmed, focusing on one of his names reminds me that he is all powerful. He's in control. He's not surprised and he's never overwhelmed. And when I'm able to focus on that and to maybe put that name on the wall where I can keep it in my focus, then that helps me to fight that overwhelm.
Mm. And it changes the atmosphere in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It changes my attitude, my tone, my outlook. And my children see that. And my husband sees that. Our families don't benefit from us pretending mm-hmm. that we're not overwhelmed. They benefit from us saying that it's the healthiest thing in the world to admit yes. you're overwhelmed. And yeah. then showing them what to do with their overwhelm. Mm-hmm.
To take it to the Creator.
Right. Lay it down in prayer. Focus on Him mm-hmm. and let Him change you. Yeah. Trust Him to yeah. change you. And He will. So, Sissy, with all of that in mind, would you pray for us as we wrap it up today?
Of course. Dear God, thank You for this time together, for the chaos and the laughter that fills our home as we navigate through the busyness of life. Help us to remember that You are always present, always in control, and always ready to carry our burdens.
Amen.
We lift up our concerns, our worries, and our overwhelm to You, knowing that You are the God of all flesh and nothing is too difficult for You.
Yes.
Teach us to trust in Your perfect timing and Your unfailing love. May Your peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts mm-hmm. and minds in Christ Jesus. Help us to focus on Your promises and Your character, finding strength and comfort in Your presence.
Yeah.
Thank You for the privilege of coming to You in prayer, mm-hmm. knowing that You hear us and answer according to Your will.
Yes.
Guide us as we seek to honor You in all that we do. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mm. Amen. Well, that's it for today. That is, that's good. I have fun talking to you.
Yeah, same.
You're so busy all the time. I feel like our podcast chats are, I don't know, kind of special.
Yeah.
Gives us time to be alone. Uninterrupted conversation. Next time, I think I want to talk about standing firm.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just the circumstances of life not being swayed and standing firm. So, all right. Well, that's it for today. And until next time, ladies, please, 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 along with me, along with Mary Caroline, give God your hearts.